Welcome to Group Coach Nation, the podcast. I'm Chris Williams, your host, and we are here to dive deep into launching and scaling your own high-ticket group coaching program or mastermind. If you already have a mastermind and you're just trying to scale it, grow it, make it more efficient, really take this thing to the next level, this is for you. If you're just starting out and trying to like understand how it all works behind the scenes, listen in. You're going to learn a ton, and you're going to get the codes to crack this thing wide open for you. All right, let's jump in. Enjoy the episode. See you on the inside. What's up, Group Coach Nation and Sarah Samples? Thanks for being here, Sarah. I'm super excited about this conversation. How you doing?
I'm well, thanks. Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you here. So Sarah and I got to know each other a few months back. And Sarah is an expert at getting clarity around like your message, how to actually know what in the freaking world you do. Many of us know, let me say this differently. Many of us know what we do, but we don't know how to communicate that to our clients. And so have you ever been in that space where you're like, in a call with somebody like, hey, tell me what you do. Or you're like in a networking event or whatever. And they're like, they go on for minutes, like literally 5 or 10 minutes. And at the end of it, you have no idea what they do. Have you ever felt like that's you? And you're like, oh my gosh, somebody just asked what I do. And I think I do like 5 different things. And I don't know how to pick. I don't know how to say which one. That's what we're here to sort out today. Sarah, thank you for helping us bring clarity. Sarah, this took me... It took me years. I don't know how many years. It took me years to be able to say, I teach experts and industry thought leaders how to build high-ticket mastermind and group coaching programs. Mm-hmm. It's so easy to say that now, but it took me forever. Is that really common?
Yes, totally common. I think that's totally normal. And you might not like this answer. I kind of think is part of, I think that's part of the course. I think most of the people, I'm guessing, listening, and certainly the people I work with, we're probably passionate and multi-talented, probably have a few different aspects and a few different things we've done. We're creative, we're entrepreneurs. So there's a couple of reasons why I think it's hard. One is that we do more than one thing. So like you said earlier, how do we pick the one thing that's going to be the best bang for your buck? You know, the one thing that everyone really wants, like, how do we know that? So I think there's that anxiety going on in our heads. And then I think the other thing that holds us back is that it does take a bit of practice and it takes a bit of trial and error. And and I think we hone it as we go and we develop, you know, I think the other thing we're talking about a personal brand at the end of the day, aren't we? For most, you know, most of the people that we're doing business with, it's a personal brand. Even if you have a team behind you, you know, what you're selling is your expertise, your knowledge, your way of doing something, your philosophy. And we change and morph as humans. So I think those are the two of the things we're coming up against when we're trying to summarize what we do. But there is a way through. And, you know, okay. And you can get clearer, you can get shorter. You can get more to the point and you can make it more compelling to your audience. It is possible.
Well, let's get clear about the way through, because it's interesting you just said those two things. That's exactly my journey as well. So most of us come to wherever we are today through a journey of entrepreneurship. We still probably do lots of things, probably have multiple businesses still going on. We're deciding which one we want to stick with. There's all that noise. And for me, the one thing I think you didn't mention that I'll just bring up and be vulnerable about, Sarah, is insecurity. As an entrepreneur, showing up in the spaces I've grown into, if I've come from a space or spaces, which we all have, let's be honest, where there's failure and, oh my gosh, I can't believe I made those mistakes for those years. We want the person we're talking to now to feel confident about who we are. And to be like, oh my gosh, this person's awesome. And so we start layering on all these things. Well, you know, I was in financial advisory work for a while, sold that practice, and then I got into this, and then I had a firm, and now here's what I do. I also do, we want to look big, but the person listening, they need to just hear, oh, I get what you do. You can help me. Or, oh my gosh, I know who you should talk to. My friend needs your help. That's really what we're trying to get to.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you hit the nail on the head. I think imposter syndrome and that fear of that we might be seen as a fraud makes us. So one of the first workshops I did years ago for some writers, I started with making them think about how they wrote their bios. And I had this gruff gentleman in the audience who kind of challenged me and was like, this isn't relevant. Like, why do we need to do this? Why do we need to rewrite our bio the way you're saying we do? And he didn't have an English accent, so I don't know why I'm doing that. But it's the only way I can imitate him. And it rocked me a little bit. And then we carried through the workshop and everyone did the exercise I'd given them. And then he came back at the end and said, oh, you know what? You've made me realize that I have been talking about myself in my bio and I haven't been relating to my audience. And I think this goes back to what you said about the like that insecurity and imposter syndrome. We feel that we will look more credible and we will feel more confident if we spout all the things we've done. But put yourself in the shoes of the person that you are serving. They are busy. They are overrun with information. They've got a certain problem they want to solve. They don't have time to pass through all the information you're going to give them. That is your job. It is your job to do the background work to get to the most important information for them. And quite frankly, we're all quite selfish, let's be honest. That person listening just wants to know, what can you do for me, really? So my biggest tip, if nothing else, is don't start with yourself. Mm-hmm. And that's what we think in elevator pitches about what do I do? Well, it's not really. It's about what do you do for someone else? What do you do for the person you serve? And just that shift is enough to help you make a more compelling pitch. That's the biggest thing I'd say. I mean, I know someone who landed himself a fantastic job in the finance world, and he didn't have a postgraduate degree. But they didn't realize it because of the way he'd written his resume.
Interesting.
So it's not about your qualifications. It's about what you're doing for that person who you're trying to help. So that's the place to start.
Okay, I just want to unpack that. Hey, everybody watching. Good to see you guys. Y'all feel free to ask questions if we're live while you're watching this. Fire away. If we're not live, you can still ask your questions below, and Sarah or I or someone on our teams will sort it out for you and get you answers you're looking for. So that's really relevant for so many people because, like Sarah, what you're saying there, like, you know, people say you can't read the label from inside your own bottle, so to speak. But it's really true. We're so passionate about what we do as speakers, as coaches, as consultants, as service providers, whatever. And we're so good at that it's really hard not to focus on, well, here's all the stuff I do. When really the person you're talking to, they can only think about, just like we have a hard time thinking about anything besides what we do, they can only think about what they do and where they're stuck. And all they need to hear in that moment is what I do for them to get them unstuck. That's really okay. How do you like boil that down and actually get away? I don't know if I should ask, how do you boil that down into a concise statement? Or is more important to say, how do I step away from myself enough to actually be in the process or be in a space where I can see what someone else needs besides just what I do?
Yeah. Everyone's different. And for some people, there's kind of two ways to approach it. But yeah, I think you do need to step back first. Mm-hmm. And so when I'm working with people, coaching them, the first thing I get them to do is to look into...
Hang on just a second. Wow. Yeah, that is my house alarm going off. Hold that thought just a second. Sarah, you can keep talking.
Wow. Well, I hope everybody's safe. I don't know if you can hear me, but here I am. There we go. Gosh, I hope everyone is okay. So the first thing I get clients to do is to really dig into what are their clients going through, what What are they coming with today? What are they needing today? Everyone okay, Chris?
Yeah, I got a house full of teenagers and college students for the summer because we have five kids. And okay. So, yeah.
Explains a lot. Yeah. I got a house full of puppies, but they didn't set the alarm off. So it's good. I got nine puppies in that room behind me. Yeah. It's the best.
Well, hopefully they won't set the alarm off.
Yeah. And when I say, yeah, so I think take a step back and forget about yourself for a minute and really just honestly, I get pushback from clients on this because they say, well, yeah, I know my clients. And I'm like, okay, but do you really, have you really taken the time to put yourself in their shoes and to say, okay, I am my ideal client. What am I walking around with? What's keeping me up at night? What am I showing up with today? What's the burden I'm carrying? What's keeping me stuck? What am I frustrated with? And so the way that I help clients make that real is if you already have a business of some kind, then go back to the last 3 to 6 interactions you had with clients and work through and ask yourself and remind yourself, what were they talking about? What were their problems? What questions were they asking me? Look at emails people have sent you. Look at reviews people have written. If you've got Google reviews, have a look at Google reviews. If you've got testimonials people have written, bring all of those together. Put aside your assumptions about what you think you do for clients and look through all of the language they have used about what they want, what they're struggling with, and then pull out keywords from that language you find there. So that would be the biggest, that would be my first step. My biggest piece of advice would be to start there. So take a step. Someone's made a nice comment. Take a step back. Everyone's safe. Yeah. Take a step back and don't assume. Don't assume you know what you do and don't assume you know what your clients need. And if you don't have that data, ring up 3 to 5 people who have either worked with you or they follow your peers or you've had business dealings with them, they know you well enough, or they are your ideal client, and make it clear to them, I'm not selling you anything. I just want to hear your story. I just want to understand where you're at today, what you're most wanting, what you dream about, what would make your life so much easier and what you're struggling with. So that's where I would start.
I love that. I love how simple that is. And I love how refreshing it is to hear from others. One thing I did, Sarah, a few years ago, I don't know who recommended this. It was a coach I was working with. Somebody said, like, send a text message. I still have these. I saved them in a Google Doc. Send a text message to 10 people that I trust who know me, have known me for a while, past colleagues, friends, whatever, asking those questions like, what am I really good at? I asked him, I think, what was I good at? What am I not so great at, for clarity there? And then how have I helped you in the past? And many of them weren't past clients, but they said things like, you've helped me get clarity on key issues in my life, or you've helped explain things in a way I could understand them. And it gave me an idea of, oh, this is the thing that I do that people want more of from me, you know, which really helped me start crafting how I get away from saying, here's all the details and nitty gritty of what I do. And here's the thing I do that actually helps other people, you know?
Yeah. And how did you, were you surprised by some of,
I was scared, first of all. Oh my gosh. Standing up. Yeah. What do I do great? And what do I not do so great? Yeah. Like half the people only said great things. They wouldn't say anything negative. They were too scared. Right. Yeah. So it was really, really surprising. And it was interesting, the trend. Like, here's what I do, Sarah. I help people see through complicated issues and make complicated stuff simple. I'm a teacher. Yeah, we teach experts how to build high-ticket masterminds and scale and grow. But really, it's a really complicated process to build a scalable, highly profitable model in coaching and consulting. It's really complicated. But when you see it for what it is, it's really simple. Okay, so yes, I teach people how to do that thing of building a high-ticket mastermind or group coaching program. But what I really do is cut through the noise so they can take action. and their teams can take action. So, you know, like once I realized that, I was like, okay, I need to lean on, for me, what was my superpower of helping people see through a complicated issue to something simple they can work on. And then whatever industry or space or product or service I want to put around my skill set is just, what do I enjoy doing and what's the market needing right now? Does that make sense? Like, yeah,
exactly. And listening, you know, listening to you, if we were on a coaching call and you weren't clear, I would take, like, I've heard what you've said. And for me, what I'm hearing is that you help people take action and get results and make something real that looked too difficult to do. Mm-hmm. And so I would get you to lean into that in your messaging. Yes, you've nailed it on the post of high ticket mastermind or group coaching, but that's just one expression of it. And the beauty of getting to the heart of what you do is that quite often it's a bit more generic than the actual product we're selling today. And it can be a more sustainable personal brand because you're the guy who helps me see complicated things simpler and get it done. And that can be in this area, or this area. So you can expand, you can grow, you can. And I think the other thing we talked about at the beginning, going full circle, is what do I do with all these different things I'm good at? Well, if you can find that thread of what is your zone of genius, then it will probably apply to several of the things you do. And then you will bring cohesiveness to what your personal brand is. So yeah, and I love that you were encouraged to reach out to people. The other thing I get clients to do as a second step, and hats off, this is not my idea, this is Jeff Goins who seeded this idea, is to reach out to half a dozen people, and again choose a mixture of like friends and business colleagues and maybe a client, and ask them for 3 to 5 words to describe you. And that's really fascinating. And then look at the commonalities and look at the things that resonate with you. And then you can, yeah, that and the client words language exercise, those two things together can help you start figuring out what exactly is it that I do.
Very helpful. Okay, I got good. Two more. We got like 11 more minutes. Can I ask 2 more questions?
Please.
Okay, cool. I appreciate you like giving us your time today. It's so cool of you. Thank you. Oh, by the way, fun. If you want to talk to Sarah, sarahsambles.com. For those of you just listening in, sarahsambles.com is her website. I'm just on there right now, actually, Sarah. It's really cool. Nice job. Hey, you know what? It's super clear. Yeah. If you want to see an example of some clear writing, that's great. Okay. So here is the thing that I was telling you before we jumped on the recording of this, the thing that so many people in our industry struggle with, even people that are super advanced in my pro level mastermind, still constantly crafting this. Sometimes somebody says, what do? We get stuck on all these different things we do. How do you know which of the things to pick? Like, I know we're talking around, here's my strengths or my skill sets or whatever, but
yeah,
because sometimes we're listening for, hey, is this going to resonate with this person in this moment? I want to resonate with them where they are so they will buy or make a partnership or a JV or whatever. How do I know which one to pick?
Yeah, that is a fantastic question. So confession, and my email to my email list today was about this. I think every single time I introduce myself, it's slightly different. Like I'm kind of playing around with it a little bit here and there. And like, I'm just changing a word, but because I did that exercise of what do I really do that helps my clients? What is it about me that serves them and helps them? Because of that, I know the kind of bottom level, like, or the top level, you know, I know the foundational piece that in everything I do, people tell me I bring clarity and I help them gain confidence. And I'm good with words. So I know those things have to be in there somewhere. So just to give you freedom that, yes, you will sometimes tweak what you're saying depending on the audience. I think that's sensible, and that's just like being a good human being. But yeah, if you're at that point where you're feeling frustrated about, you know, people aren't resonating, or you're just struggling in the weeds of how to actually clarify what you do. So those two exercises. And then one thing I would do is get index cards. Write on each index card like a key phrase or word or topic or thing you're really passionate about or something you do. And some of those might be drawn from that feedback you got from the clients and friends. And then put them like a deck of cards, turn the top two over and pick one. Just go with your gut. Just pick one. Okay. Keep that one. Put the other one to the side. Turn the next card over. Look at the two, the one you kept and the new one. Pick one. Go with your gut. Keep doing that until you've got a couple of cards left. Don't look at the ones you discarded. Look at those two and do they resonate? Does that make you spark? And does that feel like that's true to your skill set and the people that you serve? And if one's more obvious than the other, then just pick that one. So I find that really interesting and helpful exercise when I get clients to do that. But I think the other thing to remember is that communication is like a cascade. So I sometimes talk about like the point of an arrow. So I have to choose like an entry point, if you like. I have to choose the most important thing that is going to encourage someone to stop and listen. Now, marketing is a bridge building conversation. It is not about pushing products on someone. So what I need to do is say, what is the most important thing about how I help people? So for me, I believe it's clarity and helping someone get to the heart of their message. Mm-hmm. So I put that as my point of the arrow. But there's lots of other things I do. I've got experience. I've got, you know, I do group coaching. I do one-on-one coaching. I do copywriting for people. You know, there's different things I do. I'm writing a memoir. Like all those things are still true, but I need to pick in terms of, for example, the banner on my homepage and my elevator pitch. I need to pick that one thing that is my greatest kind of strength. And lead with that. So you're going to have time and space to bring in the other things, but this is about what do you lead with? Mm-hmm. So I think that takes some of the anxiety off. I can be a multifaceted entrepreneur, but I'm going to lead with my strength. And so you build out your elevator pitch by focusing first on your customer and what do I do that really helps that person the most? What is that thing that I help them get to? What is that place? What is that state? What is that emotion? What is that experience I help them get to? That's where you start. So, you know, I help creative entrepreneurs get clear on their brand message so they can grow their impact. And then I can start talking about all the other things. Does that help answer your question?
That does help. It answered both my questions, actually. That's fantastic. I love the physical paper, like index card version of that too. So rarely do I actually touch paper, but when I do it in a planning scenario, like sticky notes on a whiteboard or spreading pieces of paper all over the dining room table, trying to figure out what strategy is, it's so helpful. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. So different than being on a screen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm a paper and pen and pencil kind of person. So I'm doing it all the time.
Sarah, thank you so much. This has been like truly instructive, and I really appreciate that. It's been clear.
Good.
sarahsambles.com, sarahsambles.com. Sarah, if there's one last bit of truth you want to leave with us, like if I could just encourage everybody just to do this one thing today, go take action, here's something simple, what would you say to do?
Go and see what your ideal clients are saying, either what they're commenting on other people's posts, because that reveals the things that are most important to them. Or you can look at reviews on Amazon, or you go look at the reviews they've done for you, and go and see what they're saying, and look at the language, look at the emotional language they're using. What is it they're really after? That's what I would go take 15 minutes to do that.
That's good. That emotional language. So that's the hearts. Sarah, thank you.
Pleasure.
Everybody, go look at your clients and prospects' words, their real words, what they wrote. That is so what they want and what they're thinking and feeling. It's so great. Sarah, I really, really appreciate your time. I know your time is valuable. Thank you for investing in my audience today. Thanks, Group Coach Nation folks. Isn't she great? If you have any questions for Sarah, obviously sarahsambles.com, or you can drop them in wherever you saw this video. If you just tag me or tag Sarah, we will get you in touch with Sarah and get that question answered. So we'll make sure you actually get the real information you need. And there's so many great ways to engage with Sarah. Check out our website, sarahsambles.com. It's got tons of stuff there for you. Sarah, enjoy your day. Can't wait to talk again soon.
Thank you. Bye. Bye.
Hey everybody, Chris here again. Thanks for listening in. Hey, over at groupcoachnation.com, we have everything you need to sort this out for yourself. You can find out where you are in this continuum of launching, scaling, building, really taking your mastermind to the next level, or starting your brand new mastermind. That's right there at groupcoachnation.com. We have a ton of free resources and a ton of ways for you to find out where you are in the process, knowing exactly what to do next, so that you can do the work to get the results. You hear us say that a lot here at Group Coach Nation. Do the work, get the results. We just want you doing the right work. Don't want you wasting your time. It doesn't take a lot of time to build a mastermind. You just need the right strategy behind it. So go over to groupcoachnation.com, jump in, ask your questions, join the community, look at the resources, enjoy. It's there for you. Can't wait to see you there. We'll talk soon.